Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Friday morning gives us a chance to get together and with our listening audience out there.
I'll start off with a listener question from Rudy. I have a question about central banks and their periodic purchases of gold. To the best of my knowledge, no central bank is currently operating on a gold standard. What do these central banks actually do with the gold they are buying?
Yeah, it's an interesting subject. I don't know that the buying has been periodic. I think it's just sort of come on the scene in the last year where some central banks have been putting gold into their reserve. Whether they're looking at the inflation that they're causing out there and buying it as a hedge against inflation, I don't know. But a lot of the central banks were overweighted in bonds at the high and have suffered huge losses. So maybe they're looking at it as kind of a safe investment. But traditionally, going way back, whether it's a central bank or a private bank, their reserve was the amount of gold they had, and gold was money, and it was you couldn't fiddle with it and everything else. So I think it could be driven a bit by concerns about inflation and but the ironical part is they probably don't understand what they're doing, but they're doing the right thing, getting gold into central bank reserves, which is very, very sound indeed, because it sort of acts like a discipline. If they start doing the wrong thing, they start losing their gold reserve. But then, of course, they went off of gold because economists needed the elbow room to inflate credit and currency to prevent a depression. And, so, you know, they went off of gold so that they could manipulate financial markets. But the point of gold is that it then manages the ambition of a central bank. So much healthier. I like the idea of them adding to reserves, even though they may not understand it. So.
Well, China has been buying up gold for the last 12 years. Well, Canada and Britain divested all their central bank gold.
Oh, yeah. I think that was a squeeze play on Canada, that in order to get into some special group of seven or something, I think the instruction was shed all your gold, which they did.
Now, was that a smart move?
No. That's the only real reserve in banking is gold. So, yeah.
And now I've heard one explanation is that Canada has a lot of gold in the ground. The government could just confiscate a certain amount of gold that was produced and stock up on gold if they had to that way. Is that an adequate explanation?
I think that's a bit radical. Eventually, I think they will realize that gold as a reserve is sound banking, and somehow they'll have to buy it out of the markets. There'll be no confiscation, because it's a practical thing, so there won't be any confiscations or things like that. And Roosevelt screwing around with the price of gold in 1933, that sort of nonsense. No, I think we're going into, we're going out of a crazy financial world and into a more sound financial world.
I saw an editorial that said Canada is headed for financial disaster because of the Liberal government's anti-gas, anti-crude, anti-natural resource campaign, where even First Nations would be hurt because they're now being part of the natural gas, liquefied natural gas program. And
they
get royalties and lots of jobs.
Well, not only natural resources, but Trudeau all of a sudden came out with an attack upon agriculture. Somebody told him that nitrogen was bad, and farmers every year have to replace the nitrogen they use on each year's crop, and he's against nitrogen. So Trudeau is a madman and is against energy, crude oil, coal, natural gas. There could have been something like about a dozen plants on East Coast and West Coast making compressed natural gas to ship overseas. And then there were two important people from Germany or Northern Europe or something came to visit Trudeau specifically to plead for natural gas, and he lectured them on the climate. But anyways, I think Trudeau will likely be forced out of office. Too many ethical violations, and probably somehow they've got to figure a way to get rid of him before 2025, which is when the next general election would happen.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy when we take a look at some of the interesting headlines of today.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, one of the headlines that caught your eye, World Bank warns oil price could soar to $150 a barrel.
Yeah, well, that was October 30th. And they were looking at Middle East strife, thinking that there's so much oil production in the Middle East, but there's so much oil production elsewhere. But they overlooked that crude oil is fairly consistent in setting a seasonal high in late September. And the high was on, I think, the 28th. And then these, you know, highfalutin $150 terrifying headlines, that's just extrapolation going on and looking at problems in the Middle East. But crude was also very overbought and at 95 and has had one hell of a big correction. Maybe it's now oversold. But that was a classic, that one.
Now, you know, when they calculate the cost of living index, they leave out energy and housing,
and
amazingly,
taxes.
And taxes.
Yep.
And yet, headline here says, Bank of Canada confirms carbon tax responsible for 16% of total inflation.
Yeah, I think staffers at the Bank of Canada did a good one with this one, just to get the story out, because Trudeau, you know, in the House of Commons, on question period, the opposition be hammering away at all the problems the people have out there, and Trudeau, until recently, would just go on, but we've got to do the carbon because we've got to save the planet. So this, I think, some research staffers at the Bank of Canada did the right thing with nailing that one. Yep.
More home buyers are backing out of deals as mortgage rates hit 23-year highs.
Oh, yeah. That's very painful. As mortgage rates go up, very difficult to finance buying. And then anybody who are on sliding rates for mortgages, their cost of living in their home has been increased as well. So,
and, of course, we had the federal government take the carbon tax off fuel oil, which only 3% of Canadians use. And
yeah, well, that was because it was in Atlantic provinces,
yeah.
And they're strong supporters of Liberals, so they had to move that. And all that was a major blunder by Trudeau, and it's serving to weaken him seriously.
Carbon taxes have been in BC a provincial creature for a decade and a half. Hasn't reduced emissions at all.
No.
And we don't get rebates. The people who get the federal carbon tax, at least if you're a low-income person, you get a rebate. In BC, you basically have to be on welfare, but you don't have a fixed address, so they can't send you a rebate anyway.
It's a tax on a tax on a tax. But also, as I like to point out, carbon dioxide in the atmosphere has nothing to do with climate change. Those little molecules of CO2 up there, when they get a little heat energy from the Earth, they do a little vibration. They do not hold heat, and they do not reflect any heat back down. So the whole thing about carbon dioxide is bastardized science. But the main thing is used is it was a great tool to control people. So here you are going on about the evil carbon dioxide when it is essential for life. Take away the carbon dioxide and you'll soon be dead. I think it is down to 150 parts per million in the atmosphere. And plant life comes to an end, and plant life going then eases life on animals and stuff like that. So, but that was down to 150 on the last ice age. So, but it's not causative. It follows. Like when you get a turn to warming, proper climate warming, The carbon dioxide in the atmosphere follows by 500 or 600 years. It's just the way it works. So carbon dioxide is not causative. It is consequential. So, yeah. But, hey, they continue to pitch it.
Saudi Arabia, Russia stick to planned oil cuts amid Mideast tension.
Yeah. Sure, that sure worked for crude as it went from 95 down to 77 or whatever it was. But they were trying to jack up the price of oil, and it didn't work.
Headline from Reuters, hedge funds pile into U.S. stock rally at fastest pace in years. Should they be?
You wonder, these hedge funds, hedging is kind of protecting yourself by having certain positions, but it looks to me hedge funds exist to always participate in the latest fad. So, which was this one? They hopped into the straight-up stock market at a time when the stock market is likely in a lengthy bear market. Mm-hmm.
Headline from Yahoo: hedge funds catapulted Treasury shorts to a record at the wrong time.
Yeah, they were.
There you go.
They were shorting the bottom of a tremendous crash in bond prices. Don't know about these guys.
Headline, Wall Street bosses in Hong Kong see financial dangers.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting with China. The southern provinces is where the prosperity comes from, and Peking, Beijing, whatever they call it, where the communists live, there's going to be a huge showdown between the freedom and prosperity parts of China and the communist administrative part. It's going to be fascinating to watch.
Now, before Hong Kong was handed over to the Chinese, they were responsible for up to 20% of the positive side of the Chinese economy. And since the communist government took over, it's slowly been declining, so that they really don't feel they're dependent on Hong Kong and its freedom. And yet, for such a tiny population out of China's billion plus, they still financially punch way above their weight.
Oh, yeah. My quip when Mrs. Thatcher released the lease on Hong Kong to the communists is that eventually Hong Kong would take over Beijing, because the communists would spend all the money, blow themselves up, and then be eligible for sound government. And where are you going to get it from? Well, Hong Kong.
Headline, SoftBank's WeWork, once the most valuable startup, succumbs to bankruptcy.
Yeah. That was another one of those crazy schemes that went up to some huge market cap on essentially nothing. Then the concept didn't work out and the whole thing crashed. Yeah.
Well, it's the old, when COVID hit, already the trend had started slowly to more work away from the office.
Yeah.
And then everybody was forced to work away from the office. And yeah. Then when the pandemic was over, people didn't come back. A lot of companies now are telling people you got to come back to the office. And some folks would rather quit than do that.
Yeah, I think they're right. I think for most people and most businesses, you're going to work harder in the office than you will from a remote situation. It takes a certain drive when you're on your own to get work done. How do I know? God, I've been at home for decades.
Yeah, I've been working from home since 2010. And I don't know, it's true. If you're not self-driven, it's not going to work. And I think companies also found out people were working for other people at the same time. If as long as you're making an input every half hour to that job, you're taking calls for somebody else and booking hotel rooms for them.
Well, there was another one, Jim, a friend of mine, his wife, they retired and they spend each winter up at Whistler skiing. So you always have the Saturday-Sunday rush of traffic, you know, from downtown people. But when COVID was on and all this remote stuff was being doing, they got the big rush on Friday with all the government employees coming up for skiing on Friday. It was talked about up at Whistler, yeah.
Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, Jim, good to be together, and look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy, the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.